Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's July 30th, 2013. July 30th. Tomorrow's the last day of July, and then we're into August. It's like, where is this year going? I'm sure that if I was on a cattle ranch, I'd be like, oh, boy, I can't wait for the winter. No, I don't know what I would say, but I've never been on a cattle ranch. But our special guest today has, and Stu, I think you're going to introduce who we have with us for the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends.
Yeah, we'd love to. Mark, it's my honor to introduce once again to the great news radio listening audience, Will Hathaway. And yesterday was actually pretty neat. We got a chance to hear a little bit about some things I already knew from meeting with Will, like becoming a police officer and working on the cattle ranch. But some of the story I thought was really neat, Will, that you were able to communicate your journey and how you ended up making your faith your own as you got older. And then the story about personally meeting your wife was excellent as well. And then becoming a police officer, why that you actually did that, you know, more maybe out of necessity for what we all need, actually, to pay the bills as well. So without further ado.
Without further ado, what? Okay, wait. Okay, you got to do a different transition than that.
Okay, Will, I have a copy of What If God Is Like This? Meet the God You've Never Known. If you could tell us a little bit about why you wrote this.
As I mentioned yesterday, the book actually started out as a series of sermons that I had done. Basically, each of the chapters deals with different aspects or questions that I personally had that I never really felt were being answered, you know, in Sunday school, if you will. So I kind of went on my own little journey here to try and make sense of a few different aspects of Christianity that I struggled with. You know, the idea of obedience and, you know, God's great desire for us being obedient and having yet we have free will. And then, you know, obviously the good and bad that happens in this world that is confusing if it's run by a good God. And things like that. And so each chapter deals with a different question that I had dealt with, and which originated as a sermon that I had given at church. And then over the course of a couple of years, I had compiled a collection of sermons. I thought, you know, I thought I really ought to do something with this. And, you know, you give the sermon one time, and it's gone. And so I contacted a friend of mine in San Diego who works with the publisher. He asked to see a sample of the work, and he liked it, and we were off and running.
Hey, Will, I see through your acknowledgments in the back of the book, you know, pretty standard and typical. You acknowledge and thank your wife and your kids and your mom and your dad and your pastor and your friends and the publishing staff. But who is Gila? Or is it Gila?
Gila.
Yeah, because it says, Norm, thanks for introducing me to Gila.
Gila,
I can't pay you back for that one. And that was one that kind of threw me.
Yeah, the Gila is a wilderness in New Mexico. It's Gila. It's starting, G is pronounced like an H.
Oh, Gila.
Norm is my backpack buddy, and if you go to western New Mexico, there's a wilderness area called the Gila Wilderness, and every year we go out there for about a week just backpacking and just completely alone out there. Just a couple of the guys will go out there and get away from everything, and that's one of my therapies, and Norm is the guy who he'd been raised out there. He was the one that first brought me out there. I didn't even know it existed until then. So now it's one of my absolute favorite places to go.
Oh, when I saw it, and I was thinking, is that a person? Is that like, you know, it was like, who's he thinking? I didn't know if it was pronounced Gila or Gila. I thought, oh, that's an unusual name. Or is it a pet? Or did he give you a gift? And so, oh, okay, so it's a location. Well, you know, it's interesting. Pastor Jason Schiffel, I don't know, on one of our morning programs in the past, he talks about how much God has used the desert in the disciples' lives, in many of the prophets, even in the life of Jesus, the 40 days in the wilderness, how oftentimes when he wants to speak a truth into us or wants to refine our character or develop us or get our attention, he'll take us to those wilderness. And you kind of say it's like a little refuge, or you recharge your batteries, or is that like a place where God has spoken to you in unique ways?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You get out there, and one of the things that I found interesting about backpacking, which is one of my, I could talk about that for the entire interview, is that I don't realize how high of a stress level I live my life at till I get out and I get away from everything. And when you're out there and you're literally away from everything, and you suddenly, about day three, you just sit down and you're, you know, sitting by the fire, then all of a sudden you just take a breath and it's like, wow, I actually have no stress right now. Mm. And it just, you realize, man, my daily normal life just has, what I thought was relaxed is nowhere near relaxed. We tend to live in such a frantic, helter-skelter pace that we've almost recalibrated ourselves to what stress is.
Will, I'm going to read the dedication that you've written in your book, and then I'm going to ask you, if your prayers could be answered, what would you want the listener to take away? What would you want them to glean or get from your book? What if God is like this? Meet the God you've never known. So let me read this dedication, and then tell us what would be your best answered prayer if somebody read this book and what they got out of it, or how it changed their lives, or how it answered. But your dedication says, I dedicate this book to everyone who has ever had doubts about God but was afraid to admit them. This book is for those who have asked questions they feel haven't been adequately answered, particularly regarding Christianity. This book is for those who feel imprisoned by life, their situation, their experiences, and their fears. This book is for those who want to meet the God they believe was there, but have not yet experienced. So tell us a little about why you wrote this book and what you hope people are going to get out of it.
First thing is that we're coming out of a church era, and when I say era, I mean the last couple hundred years, where it was taboo to question anything. And even if something didn't sit right with you, it was just, you just accept it on faith, and you clearly just don't have enough faith, or else it would sit fine with you. And so people, I think, have been discouraged from challenging, or at least asking the challenging questions that they struggle with. So, and I've experienced that a little bit in my journey, and then so either I would ask the question and kind of get blown off, or I'd ask the question and nobody had an answer for it, which was just as frustrating. And in this book, I don't claim to necessarily have answers, but I try and provide some possible perspectives on why God operates in certain ways. So if I were to give the reader, if there was one word that I would try and use to summarize this book, it would be freedom, in that I really truly believe through this journey that God's greatest desire for us is to experience true and complete freedom. And he is the source of that true and complete freedom. But he's left us free to not follow him, which is, again, necessary for freedom. We have to have that choice. And for me, freedom was the lens that I needed for my journey that brought Christianity really into crystal clear focus. It truly made sense when I looked at everything from the perspective of freedom. It made sense why bad things do happen and why the world is so random at times, and why so many things that don't seem like they should happen do, and why bad things happen to good people and good things happen to bad people. And once freedom sank in, all of a sudden this world went from being something that confused me about my faith to being something that I found very beautiful and enhancing my faith.
I know oftentimes, like, if somebody's going to lead a Sunday school lesson or do a series on some topic or a Bible study, God starts hammering home for them a certain point or a concept, or it's like, oh, man, I never learned so much in order to prepare to teach. Did you find that with certain chapters when you started putting something together that God kind of put you on one of those learning curves, or it's like, oh, Lord, I want to talk about this topic, and then you found yourself for the next month being kind of, like I tell friends, never pray for patience, because it's like the worst thing to pray for, because if you really want it, God's going to take you through so many things to kind of stretch or have you learn about patience, and I say, don't ever pray for that. But did you find yourself in some of these chapters like being enmeshed in that faith journey where God was really at work?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it was exciting. One of the things that's nice for me is I have a bit of a commute when I go to work every day, so I have some time alone in the car to just think, which is where it's funny, where a lot of this stuff gets worked out, just kind of driving along and pondering. And one of the big things that I was questioning was just the idea that God wants us to obey him, because so much of Christianity is built around obeying God. I remember I was driving home from work one day, and I was thinking, if God wants us to, if that's his highest priority, if his absolute highest priority is for me to obey him, then why does he even give me the option not to obey him? So the fact that he gives me the option not to obey him means that there must be something higher than even obedience on his table of priorities for us. And so that's when the whole freedom concept really starts to hit, because I think even more than obedience, he wants us to be free. And it's like all of a sudden all these passages just came swirling into my mind, and starting with just Genesis, with the fact that God even created a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That he made it to begin with. He made it, and then he said, here it is, but don't eat from it. He didn't build a fence around it. He didn't put armed guards around it. He just said, don't eat from it. He just gave them the choice. Now, you can do or don't do, but it's your choice. And they had the freedom to choose. So we, that hit me, that we have, you know, when I do something that is considered sinful, I've never been struck by lightning, and I've never had flaming swords come out of heaven, and I've never known anybody to have anything like that happen. And you know, we look at this world, and we see all kinds of horrendous and heinous acts take place that people do them, and God does not stop them, or at least, you know, not initially anyway. And so we do have the freedom to act in some very terrible ways. But with that freedom, we also have the freedom to choose to love God and choose to accept God and choose to follow God. And it really, it opened my eyes to what he wants from us, and it also changed my perspective on sin. One of the things that I'd always viewed sin as is just some horrible, evil thing that I do, and I'm a sinner, so I'm a horrible, evil person. In John chapter 8, Jesus is having a debate with the Pharisees, and Jesus makes the point that, you know, he makes the famous, you know, to those who will follow my teachings, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And then he goes on and says, whoever sins is a slave to sin, but whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. And the idea of being a slave to sin suddenly really was I can't even express with words how monumental that was, because the idea being that sin is its own prison. It is its own punishment. And so if God's greatest desire for me is to be free, and I choose sin, I'm literally choosing to be imprisoned. I'm choosing against freedom, and I'm choosing to imprison myself to whatever this is. And you can look at, and you can go right down, you can pick any sin you want. If I tell a lie, I'm in prison to the lie. Now I've got to keep the lie going. If I kill somebody, I'm going to have to be on the run. I'm going to have to watch out for revenge. If I cheat on my spouse, I'm going to have to try and keep that going. If I covet, I'm going to be in prison to wanting all these things I don't have. If I choose an addiction, if I end up becoming addicted to a substance, or if I a habit, or you know, anything like that, I am now a slave to sin. And that Jesus is saying that you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. One of the interesting things about the book of John is that anywhere you see the word truth, you could almost always substitute in Jesus. Truth is almost always speaking about Jesus. When John wrote that book, that was one of the words he used for Jesus. So when Jesus comes out and says, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free, he was essentially saying, if you follow my teachings, you'll know me, and I will set you free. And so the freedom, the idea that I now look at sin kind of like a hot stove, like God saying, okay, look, there's a hot stove, don't touch it. And as people, we go, well, what's the punishment if I touch it? What are you going to do to me? Well, if you touch a hot stove, he doesn't have to punish us, but the hot stove is the punishment. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we see sin that way. I think we see sin as a defiance, but not necessarily its own punishment. But it's just as devastating as touching that hot stove and saying, yeah, see, I showed you. Well, you just blistered your hand up, and you've just completely hurt yourself. That is the punishment for sin, is sin.
In case you just tuned in, we have with us author, pastor, officer, Will Hathaway, and also a cattle ranch worker as well, or you could just say cowboy. Now, Will, in reading through your book, the title of the book is What If God Is Like This? Meet the God You've Never Known. And you can actually find out more about this at will-hathaway.com. Will-hathaway.com. Now, Will, in Chapter 4, just reading through your book, I like how you use your personal stories throughout the whole book to make your point. So in this one, you make a lot of analogies with God being a parent and pursuing us that way. You have three kids now. How did becoming a parent help change your whole perspective of how God is like that?
I think anybody who is a parent, if you haven't, at some point you will. You'll lose your kid for a few minutes doing something somewhere at the store or wherever. And this one was kind of, I had a situation with my oldest son. We were at the beach, and he had wandered off for a few minutes, and we had a few moments of panic there. But it really got me thinking about how I just, for parents who have truly lost their child, and I mean lost them, they're not getting them back, I cannot imagine the immensity of that pain. And I can't imagine, I can imagine the desperation that you would go to if you knew there was a way to save your kid or to get your kid back. I now know that I don't think there's any parent that would not go to the end of the world to make that happen. So it was odd to me that God would just let us just go to hell, essentially. That if he created us and he loves us, why would he just let us go? And so the more I got to studying, you know, particularly the crucifixion, the resurrection, the story of God's pursuit of us, I saw that essentially that's really what was happening, that you know, we look at it, we look at Christianity as basically taught that, you know, we're all in sin, we're sinners, and for that we're going to go to hell, that without the salvation of Christ. And so we look at sin as really our problem. This is my problem because this is my future. But, you know, when a kid is lost, the kid has the problem. They're lost. But the parent has a problem too. And in some cases, you can make the argument that the parent's problem is maybe even bigger, because the parent, you know, the parent of a lost child is a real problem. And so God has a problem with us being lost too. He has a problem with this sin that we're dealing with. And you can see the extent of his desperation to save us when you examine the cross and when you examine the price that he paid and the magnitude of it. And one of the chapters I wrote in there is, what if some things are hard for God? That was where I really looked at the crucifixion, because I always had this view as a kid, or most of my life, that, you know, if God's all-powerful, how can anything be hard for him? So even the crucifixion should have been easy for him. He's God, you know, so nothing's really hard. But then I would read the Bible, and I'd look in there, and I'd see Jesus sweating drops of blood and praying for another way to let this cup pass. And all these things led me to look at this and go, these are not the actions of somebody who's ready to go through something that's easy. And so I really dove into the crucifixion and what that meant and how that affected God. And something that I used to wonder if it was hard for God at all, now I am fully confident that I think that it was something very, very hard for God. You know, one of the effects of sin is it separates us from God. So we are separated from God. But if Jesus took on sin for us, and then you can look at Christ on the cross, and one of the things he says from the cross is, God, my God, why have you forsaken me? He's essentially asking, you know, where are you? And so if Jesus took on sin for us, and sin separates its carrier from God, then that means Jesus was separated from God. Well, we believe in the Trinity, which means we believe Jesus was God. So somehow you have God now at war with God. He's literally being separated from himself. And if God is dealing with himself, it doesn't really matter how powerful you are, because the battle is not, it's an internal battle now. It's something from within you. So you could be the most powerful creature in all the universe, and he's literally being torn apart. He's being separated from himself here on that cross as he takes our sin. And I see, within that, I see, one, the immensity of his awesome power to deal with that incredible situation, and only surpassing that awesome power is his awesome love to pursue us with such fervor and desperation.
The book is called What If God Is Like This? Meet the God You've Never Known. Well, Will, thanks for being available for the Monday and Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. Thank you for spending this time. Thank you for following through on those intentions when God put this book and these many concepts and these sermon materials and notes into your heart and mind to pen them. I think a lot of people will benefit by reading this book. And I mentioned on yesterday's program the table of contents, but the various things that you talk about, getting to know God's character, getting to know who he is, so that we can deal with personal crisis, that we can recognize that there's a hell, but he doesn't desire anyone to go there. He's a loving God that wants to work in and through us, wants to be a part of our lives, wants us to make that decision to follow him. That obedience is really a good thing, because he's got great boundaries. He's put fences around us to protect us, to care for us, to have us enjoy a fulfilled life. Thank you for your many words and your illustrations in this book and the various ways that you've helped me understand God. And give a big hug to your family and keep up the good work. And I know you've come up with another book, so probably in the days ahead we'll receive that and have you back. I think you're working on another book too. You have like a series of three?
There's a three-book series I'm working on, yeah. So I've got two of them done. Working on number three now.
If you'd like to find out more about Will's ministry, whether he would come and speak to your college age group, youth group, fill in for the pastor pulpit some Sunday, you can find out more at will-hathaway.com. That's HATHAWAY.com. Will-hathaway.com. And you can pick up a copy or multiple copies for your friends at that location. The book is called What If God Is Like This? Meet the God You've Never Known. And I look forward to meeting up with you someday. We have a lot of similarities in our love for the outdoors, and we have a nature trail here. We'll have you walk it through. If you ever come to Illinois, we're experiencing some great weather here lately, so you have an open invitation.
Well, thank you. You don't have to ask me many times. Go backpacking. I'm all about that.
Mark, I just wanted to close out as well, just thanking you, Will. forth being a police officer as well and guarding the community. And I think, just like we just saw with the Arnell firefighters, every day, even though you're a pastor, you do also have yourself in a little bit of harm's way. So I want to just lift you up and lift up the listeners as well who are also serving in those positions.
Thank you, Stu. Thank you, Will. The book is entitled, What If God Is Like This? Meet the God You've Never Known, by Will Hathaway. You can purchase multiple copies by stopping by Will's website, will-hathaway.com, will-hathaway.com. Great book. Will's a faithful follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to support him up in prayer as he serves in his church, as he's a policeman serving in law enforcement in the Phoenix, Arizona area. He's available to speak to your youth group, your college age, your career students, fill the pulpit on a Sunday morning, and he's got a wide and diverse background that he can draw from to help you better know the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Will, so much for this book. Thank you for your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ and being available for today and yesterday's edition of Mark and Friends, which incidentally, listener, both these programs are archived at greatnewsradio.org. That's greatnewsradio.org under our archived programs link. Maybe you know a friend that needs to hear this or you want to listen to it again. Just stop by our website or copy and paste the program link into an email and send it off to a friend. Well, Stu and Will, we're going to pray you're going to return safely home today, and that eternal destiny for those of us that follow the Lord Jesus Christ, may we be led gently home in the days ahead. This is the Sons of the San Joaquin closing out our program off their CD, Gospel Trails, Lead Me Gently Home. Just love the song. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.
Sin no more shall tempt me, ne'er from thee I'll roam. If thou only lead me, Father, lead me gently.